And a good Saturday to you. I'm Dave Callender. Thanks so much for joining us on Ask the Experts. This hour, back from Power Mortgages, Kevin Power and Ann Turner join us. Hello.
Good morning, Dave. How are you today?
Kevin has vowed not to say a word today, so I don't know if we're going to hold him to that.
I don't know if he can do it.
And good morning to you, Dave.
Well, see, he's already broken his vow. He said good morning. Hope everyone's doing well. I want to apologize off the top. Sometime overnight, someone switched on the allergy button, so I sound all stuffed up, and if I sneeze on the air, I'm sorry. I can't help it.
Well, we've all got allergies lately. I've found for the last couple of weeks they've been particularly bad.
So. It is awful, but I don't know how it can be this awful when we haven't really had any hot days yet. I mean,
it's all those trees in bloom, Dave. Everywhere you go, flowers, 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 and not the pollen going with them.
Cut them all down. Anyway, if you have questions for Kevin or Ann this hour, our lines are open, 519-570-2545, out of town, 1-800-570-5715, or star 570 on your cell phone, hands-free, let's be safe. And on today's show, our topic, in a few minutes, of course, we always have something else off the top. We're going to be talking about all the professionals that should be involved in a real estate transaction if you want to guarantee success. I think if you leave one of these professionals out, the odds go down a little bit.
I think they do.
Especially if you leave out, I don't know, the mortgage broker or the real estate agent. That's probably not a good thing.
Yeah, that makes it a little bit harder. But the success of your mortgage or your real estate transaction really depends on the professionals involved in the job. And surprisingly, there's quite a few of them.
There are six we will be discussing today. But first, we want to talk a little bit about the expected rate increases from the Bank of Canada and why they're going to start raising the overnight lending rate as part of the latest industry news to kick things off.
Well, what we've seen is that there was a huge increase in the gross domestic product. Inflation has now gone up to somewhat over 2%. And as I've always said on this show, once inflation, core inflation rate, goes above 2%, that's when the Bank of Canada starts looking at raising the rates. Now, earlier in this week, there was a big cry that it was probably going to go up 0.5% very soon and up to as much as 2% by the end of the year. However, Stats Canada has come out with new rates. That was based on February statistics. In March, it looked like the inflation rate dropped below 2%, and the core rate was now at 1.7%. So that's now got economists thinking that perhaps this isn't going to be as quite a big a bump as what they thought, probably 0.25% at the next opportunity, which will be beginning of June. And it won't go up quite as quickly because inflation really does seem to be under control.
I'm not saying anything, Dave.
Okay, good.
Other than disappointment at last, right? I was in London on Monday afternoon for a presentation by a gentleman whose name is Benjamin Tall, and he's a senior economist with CIBC World Markets, and he's got a lot more resources available to him than we do, but I think most people who are in the industry pretty well read from the same playbook. And the playbook is that as the economy improves, interest rates will increase. And his expectation of interest rate increases on bank prime alone is somewhere in the vicinity of 3 to 3.5% or 300 to 350 basis points over the next 18 months or so. Some of the concerns that are there, and that's being echoed throughout not only the mortgage community, but also throughout the financial circles, including the economists from both the governments and also from the chartered banks. And pretty well where they're coming from is first of all, how strong really is our economy? A lot of the growth that we have seen in our economy in Canada has been pretty well driven by the stimulus package. And that's going to be something that's already started to disappear. And what kind of a cooling effect is that going to have on the economy in general? And if the economy doesn't start performing on its own and start showing signs of weakening or slowing, I think we're going to be back in for more lower interest rates, despite the fact of where we are today. And we have already seen interest rate increases in the fixed-term mortgage market over the past few weeks, and in particular, I guess, in the last 30 days. And there is continued pressure on fixed-term interest rates to increase because of the pricing off five-year bond yields.
Now, the other thing that has been driving our Canadian economy has been the housing market. There's been a tremendous amount of new starts in new housing, and there has been a dearth of resale properties on the market. However, all of that is going to start changing, and it's going to start changing for three reasons. One is we are bringing in new mortgage insurance rules, which are going to profoundly affect who gets money and how they get money and when they get money. And we're also seeing rising interest rates at this point, as well as for us in Ontario, the HST coming in the 1st of July, which is really going to impact purchasing new properties. So we're seeing right now a rush. Everybody's rushing out to beat a deadline on either the new rules, which are now in place, on rising rates, which are coming up soon, or the HST, which is coming up the 1st of July. So we've seen an extraordinary amount of housing market activity in the last few months, trying to beat out the deadlines for these things that are going to make the market less attractive in the coming months. And that is skewing inflation right now, and it's skewing the money markets as well. But certainly when we see that people are going to have to amortize over a shorter period of time and not be able to build in that cushion of comfort, as the down payment requirements rise for investors, and people now have to qualify. This is the one that really kills me. People are now having to qualify on a five-year posted rate. Now, not a lot of people, well, we live in the broker circle, so not a lot of people we know pay the posted rate, let alone the five-year posted rate. And this is sort of an artificial qualification that doesn't make sense really to anybody.
Actually, there has been some modification on that received this week. And the five-year posted rate actually applies now to term mortgages of less than 5 years. People have to qualify using the posted rate. We are now in a position where we can actually use the contract rate for mortgage terms of 5 years or longer. So that's been, I guess, a bit of an adjustment in favor of mortgage consumers out in the marketplace today.
Okay. Thank you for not adding that, Kevin. Is there anything else you wouldn't like to say?
It's not me. It's my evil twin that's saying that.
Okay. So is there anything else we want to say about this topic before we take our first break?
Well, there are people in the industry and people that are respected in this industry that are expecting a price drop in housing of 20%. Don't expect it in this area because we never did the thing that Vancouver and Calgary and Toronto did. We didn't jump up 20%. But what is definitely happening is more resale houses are going onto the market. And this is the thing that's going to keep the market healthy because we're going to get out of that bidding war kind of mentality. And the more resale houses on the market, the more reasonable the pricing becomes. And that's going to offset. If you're paying a lower price for the home, that's going to offset higher interest rates.
Mm-hmm. Okay. My guest today on Ask the Experts, Kevin Power and Ann Turner from Power Mortgages. You'll find them at 69 Regina Street North in Waterloo. Give them a call at 519-886-1993 or online at powermortgages.ca. We're going to take a short break. Then when we come back, we'll dig into our topic today, all of the professionals that should be involved in a successful real estate transaction. So stick around. More of Ask the Experts on the way here on 570 News. Welcome back to the show. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Dave Callender. Kevin Power and Ann Turner are my guests from Power Mortgages, where knowledge and service make the difference, I am told. Online at powermortgages.ca. Before we delve into our topic today, let's take a look at the rate specials with Kevin. This is going to be fun listening to do this because he says he's not going to talk. So
it's the bending off the arm time again, Dave. And despite your best efforts, what we got is what we got. Five-year fixed-term mortgages. 120-day rate guarantee, 4.50%. And our usual For first three callers after the show, we will further reduce that interest rate to 4.40%. That interest rate is for new business only. First three callers subject to credit approval. We will offer our variable rate mortgage at prime minus 0.50%. Prime today is at 2.25%, so that's a nice rate of 1.75%. Ask us about the advantages of that product. We currently have 7 years, mortgages at 4.90%, and 10 years at 5.55%.
And if you'd like to take advantage of any of those rates, call Kevin directly after the show at 519-240-2967. That's 240-2967. On the show today, there are some important people, some professionals that should be involved in a successful real estate transaction. There's your mortgage broker, real estate agent, appraiser, David Copperfield, stage magician, home inspector, insurance agent, and we cannot forget the lawyers. So now each of these people play an important part in the average home purchase, and I guess it's a great topic to tackle because people have a lot of questions about, you know, why does this person have to be involved? Can I do it without this person? But they all really do have a lot to do. And when you consider the huge cost of purchasing real property, a house, a cottage, an investment, the consumer really needs to know why all these players are there and what they should be doing to help them come out a winner. So I guess we're going to go through each of these people and ask some questions.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to approach it. And some pretty standard ones for each one. We'll address, you know, like when do you need to bring that professional on board? How do you find someone that is in that area of the profession that will do that's good at the job and will work well for you? What you can expect to pay in fees, and what that person's role in the real estate transaction, what that person may require of you to do their job, and what you should do if you're concerned that it's not going the way it should on that person's end.
Okay. Well,
no, I like the reference to David Copperfield, magician, and I'm going to put a further spin on that. My actual title in the real world is Kevin Power, mortgage magician.
Really?
Yes.
Is that what it says on your card?
Uh-huh. Look how we made our personal mortgage disappear.
Well, see, I threw that in, obviously, as a joke, but people really, to a certain extent, people think, you know, I'm going to need a magician to get this thing to come out exactly the way I want it to. But the real magicians behind the scene are the first person we're going to talk about, the mortgage broker. Now, I know the two of you don't really know much about finding a good mortgage broker. You're at a disadvantage here. So, no, really, what do we need to consider when looking for our mortgage broker?
This is the very first person that needs to come on board. And for the very simple reason, and I'll give one of my famous analogies, you wouldn't go to the grocery store with no money. You know, you can't go in and buy a cart full of groceries unless you have some way of paying for it. And you don't want to get up to the cashier with a cart full of groceries and the bill for it is $100 and you've got 20 in your wallet. You need to know how much money you have and have that money available to you when you go to make your purchase. And it's the same way with a house. Except the stakes are much higher. You can leave your grocery cart behind at the grocery store. But to lose a home because you don't have that money available, it's not available like you thought it was, or you don't have the money to purchase it. You don't have the means. You don't have the qualifications to purchase the property that you thought you were going to purchase available to you, mm-hmm. is really upsetting and disappointing. So it's best to go out onto that market knowing that the money will be there when you need it, and that how much of that money you're going to have available to you to purchase a property. It keeps you looking in the right kind of houses. You know, you're not looking for something way beyond your means or way under your means as well. You may be able to afford something that you didn't believe you could before. So you may be able to look up, or you may have to look down in terms of your property buying, but at least you'll be looking where you can afford to look.
And that really brings on an interesting question within a statement. And for the general consumers that are out there who make the efforts to go and get pre-approved for a mortgage, there's a big question that comes to mind is how do you actually know whether you have been pre-approved or you've been pre-approved in the correct price range? What kind of work or what kind of quality work has actually gone into working with your application at the very beginning? And we see in quite a few cases that people are actually getting pre-qualifications as opposed to pre-approvals. And there's a significant difference, and the truth of the quality of work that has actually gone into the mortgage application at that point in time usually becomes clearly evident at the time when people write an offer to purchase, only to find out after they have done that and go back to revisit their financial institution to arrange their mortgage that now they are actually doing the work that, in my opinion, they should have done when they sat down with these people, and find out that all of a sudden they're looking in a price range that's $50,000 outside of where they should be. One of the things that we have offered for years and years and years, and I'm an absolute believer in it, and I've done it for quite a few years, is fully underwritten pre-approvals, where we actually get people to bring in the documents that are required by the lenders, which would be typically pay stubs, T4 slips, tax returns, notices of assessments, confirmation of down payment. If somebody has been previously married and they're currently in a separation or divorce, and there's either child support being received or spousal report being received or paid, we also require a copy of the separation agreements or court orders for the alimony payments or support payments, and basically do the same job that a lender will do at the time that an offer to purchase is presented for approval by the lender and or a default mortgage insurer. And I think that's just prudent. I think anybody that does anything less than that kind of quality work is doing a significant disservice to their clients.
I guess the best way for you to figure out whether you're being pre-approved or pre-qualified is, have you been asked to bring in those documents? If you haven't been asked to bring in those documents, you're not being pre-approved, because a good mortgage agent or broker needs to see the documents. And you also must sign a form that allows that person
a consent form that allows that person
to go in and do a credit check on you. All of these things are important and necessary and have to be done before any mortgage is actually approved by a lender. So if those things aren't being done, if your appointment with the person is, you know, around a half an hour or less, then undoubtedly you're being pre-qualified as opposed to pre-approved. A good pre-approval appointment's going to last about an hour and require a huge amount of documentation to come in with you.
Absolutely, and that's just good business sense and really working with your clients from the very beginning to make sure that they are actually pre-approved. And credit checks, you know, that's a pretty simple and basic thing. There are some costs to the people who do credit checks or perform credit checks, and we pay for those. And there is a cost that's associated with it. But we feel that that is a good investment into our clients to actually do that. It gives us an opportunity, if there are any issues in the credit report that need to be dealt with, we've got time on our hands to be able to deal with it at the pre-approval stage, which we don't necessarily have at the time when it becomes a real deal. Weird things happen in credit reports. Particularly recently, I've seen a couple of cases where people's credit score or Beacon score has actually disappeared off their credit file. And that's due to some glitches with Equifax and their reporting services. And it's taken us a week in one particular case to get somebody's Beacon score restored.
Now, on to what can you expect to pay for our service is, if you are the average Canadian who has average credit or better, you're not going to pay us anything. The lender's going to pay us. If you are a person who has played fast and loose with their credit, who has run into problems in the past and their credit score has declined and it's going to be extremely difficult to get you a mortgage, in that case, the lenders will not pay us, and we will charge you a fee for that. Mm-hmm. I mean, even if you went to the lender yourself, you would still be charged a fee by them to have the mortgage done. So, but by and large, 90%, 95% don't pay a fee to have this service done for them.
Okay. We're going to take a break. News is coming up at 11:30. When we come back, we'll continue going through the rest of the questions about mortgage brokers and then the other professionals that are involved in a real estate transaction. If you've got a question for Kevin and Ann, give us a call, 519-570-2545. Out of town, 1-800-570-5715 or *570, hands-free on your cell phone. More of Ask the Experts on the way here on 570 News. Thank you for joining us. Kevin Power and Ann Turner are my guests today from Power Mortgages at 69 Regina Street North in Waterloo. Online at powermortgages.ca. If you've got questions this hour, call in and ask on the air at 519-570-2545. Out of town, 1-800-570-5715 or *570. Hands-free on your cell phone as we continue to discuss the professionals that are involved in a successful real estate transaction. We were dealing with mortgage broker before the break, so let's continue with that.
Okay, what we're going to discuss now is what mortgage broker or agent's role is in this process. And our job is to find you the best mortgage that suits your needs, that all the terms and conditions work best for you, and to put the amount of money that you need in place for that purchase, to advise you on how much you can afford or not afford, and to make sure that all your documentation is in order so that this transaction goes through speedily and without hitches. Mm-hmm. And what we will require from you is the documentation. Now, not having that documentation in place, not having it ready, doesn't mean that someone will forget it and overlook it. Have it up front. It causes less stress and worry for everybody involved. The lender is not going to forget or overlook a piece of documentation that they want, so don't believe that they will. Every piece of documentation that we tell you they're going to require, they're going to require it, and if you don't produce it, you will not get this mortgage no matter what.
That's not only a matter of providing documentation as well. Lenders actually look at this stuff, and they require that information for specific reasons, and that is for review. When a lender asks for a notice of assessment, which is the paperwork you get back from Canada Revenue Agency after you file your tax return, that information confirms what income you've actually paid taxes on for the year. It basically verifies the information to your tax return or T1 general. But they also look down at the bottom of that form. And on the bottom of that form, it shows that either somebody has obtained a refund for X number of dollars, or it shows that they owe money to Canada Revenue Agency for that particular tax year or from previous years. And when lenders look at a notice of assessment, despite the fact it says in the mortgage commitment, borrower to supply notice of assessment for tax year 2009, what they're really saying is that, number one, yes, they do require that document, but also if there's any money owing to Canada Revenue Agency on that particular form, they will then make it a condition of the mortgage commitment, you must now pay any tax arrears. So documents are great, providing them is great, but also it is reviewed, it has due diligence performed on it. In terms of looking at exactly what's contained in that information, they look at separation agreements, if you wish, and somebody advises that they're not required to pay any spousal support or child support. And when we actually get the separation agreement, it shows that you're responsible to pay X number of dollars. Mm-hmm. If for any reason that's been altered to the fact that they're no longer required because somebody has passed the age of majority or whatever, they will then require a completion certificate from the court or the spouse or the former spouse confirming that support payments are no longer required. So they actually look at these documents, and anybody that's got any experience in this business at all know the benefit, not only the requirement for the paperwork, but also some of the responsibilities that lay in there and some of the things that lenders actually look for.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome, for somebody who wasn't going to say anything today.
Yes. Okay, and the last thing is, what should you do if you don't think things are going well with that particular person? If it is a mortgage agent, I'd go to their broker first. Mm-hmm. And make their broker aware that there is a problem or you perceive there to be a problem.
Okay.
And if it isn't addressed and you still feel really uncomfortable about the way things are going, then I would suggest that you seek the advice of another mortgage agent or broker. And see if they think things are going okay. Same with a lender. If you're sitting at a lender's desk and you're not confident that the job's going to be done or it's going to be done well, then seek out the advice of a mortgage broker or mortgage agent. Let them run you through it and see if there's any shortcomings in it.
Next, the next professional involved, of course, is a real estate agent. So what do we, why do we bring a real estate agent on board?
Well, because you can waste a lot of time and effort trying to find the house yourself, driving around neighborhoods, going on the internet, and really being disappointed at the end, because the internet, as great as it is only a starting point. It isn't up to date. That house that you thought you were going to go out and see and is now sold, and that's not up to date on the internet listing. It's not exactly what you thought it would be. You really need someone to take you into each of these houses. And I think if you think about it, if it was your house that was up for sale, would you want just everybody and anybody coming through your house on their own? I don't think so. I think you would like someone that knew what they were doing, who knew the people, and was there to oversee the people coming through your house there when they did. Private sales have statistically shown as well that people end up paying more in a private transaction than they do in a real estate transaction. And as the buyer, there is no cost to you in the mortgage transaction. The cost goes to the seller, to the vendor, and they pay a percentage of somewhere around 5 or 6% of the face value of the deal as a commission to the real estate agencies that are involved in its sale. But as the purchaser, by and large, you don't have a fee unless you've worked out a special arrangement with the realtor.
Yeah, and real estate business is very similar in a lot of ways to the mortgage industry, and one of the ways is that people actually interview people to do their mortgages for them. They make a selection based on whatever criterion they're looking for. We've had quite a few clients come to us as a result of this radio show, but also the largest part of my particular business is repeat business and referral from clients that I've worked with over the last 17 and a half years. And that's just one of the ways. Real estate agents are very similar to us in that they are professionals in their industry. I'm a firm believer in that if real estate agents' services were free, everybody would use them. If it's not free, well, then people look for ways to make it cheaper, if you want to call it that. A lot of homes are for sale by owner today, and that's actually creating a major problem for people who buy these properties and look for financing. A lot of financial institutions today will not finance private sales. The opportunity for the perceived opportunity for fraud is big on the list of things to avoid on part of lenders, as well as default mortgage insurers. And there's a lot of the lenders that we used to deal with who would do and finance private sales have discontinued that practice in the last 12 months or so. They found that a lot of the problems that they did have were coming from private sales, and after the deals closed, any number of reasons they have found out that they were not necessarily as they had been perceived or presented, and they found out that it gives too much of an opportunity, I guess, for people to play around with the prices and down payments. And in a lot of cases, well, I want $200,000, well, I'll sell it to you for $220,000, and you don't need to put your 10% in for the down payment. So there was quite a bit of that going on, and as a result of that, lenders pretty well walked away. We still have a few lenders that will do them, but they really look at those things, and I've used the term due diligence a few times this morning, and that's one that they really do a lot of due diligence on.
Mm-hmm. Now, what you can expect this person to be doing is they should be spending some time with you determining what you would like to have, what you need to have, and what you can afford. So going to them pre-approved is extremely helpful for the real estate agent. And then it's their job to, after having spoken to you and gotten a good idea of what it is that you want and need, to start looking for you and looking in the neighborhoods that you might want to be living in and finding properties for you to go out and see. Once you've found that property, then it's up to them to advise you on how to present your offer, what your offer should be, what conditions and clauses should be in it,
I think Anne's given up talking this morning as well.
I think my tongue has. And then preparing that offer and then presenting that offer to the vendor and the vendor's agent.
Okay.
So you want a good negotiator on your side.
So what do you do if you're worried that you don't have a good negotiator on your side and this person isn't doing what they should be?
Well, actually, what we have done, Dave, with the clients that we have come in for pre-approvals to use our service, if they're not currently aligned with a real estate professional or with a real estate lawyer, we actually have the ability and the capability to refer people to people that we have known in the business for quite a few years who have good reputations and are seasoned professionals, and we quite happily refer people out to realtors that we know, and we're very confident that they will do a good job for the clients.
Now, a really important aspect of this is, does money change hands? And in a lot of cases, there's a flow back and forth between different professionals in this industry where they will give gifts or sums of money to people that have referred deals to them. In our office, that doesn't happen. We don't pay anybody for referrals, and we don't accept money when we make a referral. Our referrals are made strictly on the basis that we have done a lot of business with that person in that part of the industry over the years, and we know the job that they do, and we believe that the job that they do is very competent and very professional. And that referral that we give to our clients is given on the basis that we believe that the person we're referring them to, from experience in dealing with these people, is that they are excellent at their job and will do a good job for our clients. It's not because there's any payment going back and forth.
Okay. Next person on the list, an appraiser. Now, why do we need an appraiser? I mean, the house has already got a price on it. You look it up on the MLS listing, it says how much they want. What?
I guess referring back to part of my conversation about private sales. That's why lenders actually, in a lot of cases now, they're going to entertain doing a private sale. They do want a full appraisal by an independent appraisal, qualified appraiser, to do a report on the property. And believe it or not, appraisers, even though in most cases they are being paid by the person who wants the work completed, they're not actually working for them. They're actually working for the financial institutions. They're really the eyes and the ears of the lender in terms of what their property guidelines are, how the property has to be appraised if it has large acreage or whatever. And they're actually making an opinion as to whether or not a lender should, first of all, place a mortgage on this property. Is it suitable to the lender's conditions? And secondly, is it a realistic value based on a market analysis? So they have a somewhat complicated job, but it's science, and it isn't an exact science. I've said for years, we can have three appraisers go out on the same day and appraise a property, and they're all going to have something different to say about it, and they're all going to have a slightly different price on it.
Like anything in this industry, it's more of an art than a science, and some people are better at it than others. But this isn't a professional that you recommend or refer to. This is a professional that is pre-approved by the lender in the case. And even though you pay for this appraiser, and by the way, that cost will be in the neighborhood of $200 to $250, that you pay for this appraisal. You never get the appraisal, only the lender does, and don't ask for it because you won't get it. An appraisal for your needs is an entirely different thing and costs a whole lot more. But this is a person that is selected by the lender or by the broker using the lender's list of approved appraisers. So that's about all you can do with that one.
And that's what they do. And if you aren't happy with this person, I guess it's tough luck.
Pretty much.
That pretty well describes it, Dave.
All right. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we'll delve into home inspectors and insurance agents, and maybe, I don't know, cross your fingers, we might even get to lawyers today.
Good.
My guest today on Ask the Experts, Kevin Power and Ann Turner from Power Mortgages, online at powermortgages.ca, and you can give them a call at 519-886-1993. More of Ask the Experts in a couple of minutes here on 570 News. I'm Dave Callender. Welcome back to Ask the Experts. My guests, Kevin Power and Ann Turner from Power Mortgages, online at powermortgages.ca. And in the real world at 69 Regina Street North, Waterloo. If you've got questions for Kevin or Ann in our final segment, give us a call now at 519-570-2545. Out of town, 1-800-570-5715 or *570 hands-free on your cell phone. Kevin, without saying a word, give us the rate specials.
I think we should make Ann do this.
I think you're getting stared at. You better go.
5-year fixed-term mortgages, and this is for new customers only. 5 years with a 120-day rate guarantee at a rate of 4.50%. And we will further discount that for the first three callers after the show to 4.40%. We offer 5-year variable rate mortgages today at prime minus a half a percentage point. Prime is at 2.25. So that'll give you an interest rate of 1.75% until bank prime changes. 7-year terms with 120-day closing at 4.90% and 10 years at 5.55%.
Just give Kevin a call right after the show to take advantage of these rates at 519-240-2967. That's 240-2967. Next up on the hit parade, the home inspector. Why do we need to have a home inspector on board?
Well, the home inspector is an optional one, but it's one that I really recommend to everybody. For the cost, which is around $300 to $500, sort of depending who, where, and when, it gives you a ton of information on the house that you're purchasing, including whether you should be purchasing or not, and it should be a clause that's in your offer to purchase, conditional upon a good report from the home inspector. They go in and look at everything, like the roof, the attic, the wiring, the plumbing, the furnace, the foundation, the windows, the doors, everything. And they can tell you what is acceptable and what isn't acceptable, if there's severe structural problems, if the plumbing is out of date, if the wiring is out of date, what's coming up, like, you know, is it an old furnace that's going to have to be replaced soon? Is the roof going to have to be replaced? Are the windows all leaking? He or she are going to be able to tell you if there are any serious problems with this house and how much it's going to cost you to fix it. They'll also tell you about small problems and how much they'll cost you to fix. It's much better to go in knowing what's right and what's wrong with this property before you purchase it. I know it sounds like a lot of money, but it can save you a ton of money because there are a lot of things that can be hidden in this purchase that this person should be able to see. Now, it's really important as well to make sure this person has E&O insurance. That's errors and omission, so that if they miss something big, there you have some recourse to having this problem fixed at the insurer's expense, not at your expense.
Typical cost of a home inspection is in the vicinity of $300 to $400, which is not throwaway money, but when you look at purchasing a property for $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, what's $400 in comparison to missing something that's going to cost $5,000 to replace or repair it because it was missed either by yourself or by your real estate agent? And we're all experienced professionals in our own particular fields, but we're not specialists in every field that is out there. We don't know all the things about construction and property maintenance. I know an awful lot of things about real estate, and I know a tremendous number of things about mortgages, but I will never, present a professional opinion from a real estate perspective. I will present my opinion. I'll have a reasonably informed opinion about it, but people who work in the real estate industry who've been in it for quite a few years and are successful, by far and large, will have a much better, more deep knowledge base than I would at this point in time.
And finally, if you're worried that the home inspector isn't up to snuff?
Well, I think you should start talking to either the person that owns that company or start talking to the person that referred that person to you, and if necessary, go to another home inspection company.
Okay. Insurance agents, why do we need them?
Well, that's a pretty basic one, I guess, from
You aren't going to get a mortgage without one.
Okay.
Not only must you have insurance at the time that your mortgage is going to fund, without it, without the copy of the insurance document being sent to your lawyers handling your transaction for you, lenders will not advance the money. After your mortgage closes, if you do not see any benefits in having home insurance, the mortgage company, if you cancel your insurance, the mortgage company will call your mortgage if you cancel the insurance on your property. They basically, the insurance is there to not only protect the homeowners, but also for the benefit of the lender. If there's a fire in a property that's that doesn't have proper insurance coverage on it, then the lender is in a position where they could lose their investment in the mortgage because their security has gone up in smoke.
Now, there are a number of insurance decisions you're going to have to make at the time of purchase. The one we're talking about in particular right now is home insurance. But you will be faced with title insurance, and that's something that most lenders insist on having, which protect against faulty title. Then there's the house insurance that protects against fire, flood, that sort of thing, home invasion. There's default insurance, which is CMHC Genworth, if you default on your payment. There's life insurance in case you die, and then your mortgage gets covered. And there's disability insurance in case you're disabled and they make your mortgage payments for you. But the ones that you absolutely cannot close without is house insurance, home insurance, or title insurance. And a good insurance agent or broker can guide you to what's best for you. Now, when they do it, bear in mind that you're insuring the cost of the house and its possessions, not the property itself. The property won't go away, unless you're on a hillside, I guess, and it erodes. Mm-hmm. But that lot, that property is always going to be there. What you're insuring is the buildings and the contents of the buildings.
Okay.
Now, that's going to cost, well, but somewhere between $600 and $1,200, depending on.
Okay. We've got 40 seconds left in the show. Can you do lawyers in 40 seconds?
Nope, we can't.
Okay.
We can't come up with that many positive things to say about that.
But we can pick this up the next show.
All right.
I think we'll pick this up the next show, and the next show we'll talk about bad credit, how you get it, and how you get rid of it.
And we'll also discuss what role the lawyer plays in the real estate transaction, because believe it or not, they do play a very important role, and you kind of need to have them. My guest today, Kevin Power and Ann Turner from Power Mortgages, 69 Regina Street North in Waterloo, online at powermortgages.ca for more information. And, of course, you can call them at 519-886-1993. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Dave.
And we'll see you in a few weeks, Dave.
All righty. And stick around. News is next at noon. Then we'll be back with more of Ask the Experts here on 570 News.